It's time for Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM. Tune in over the next hour as Corey talks about the teams you care about in Central Pennsylvania. Call in now, 814-946-0435. That's 814-946-0435. Now, Sports Central with Corey Geiger. Brought to you by J.M. Boswell Pipes and Tobacco on 96.1 Hank FM.
A dead dog. That's what the Steelers played like in the first half. A dead dog. And that is from no other than Al Michaels. Al Michaels is not a hot take guy. Al Michaels is not a look at me, look how crazy I can say things kind of guy. Al Michaels is, do you believe in miracles? Yes! Al Michaels said Saturday the Steelers looked like a dead dog. And then Kirk Herbstreit says, where the hell's the fight? It was one of the most embarrassing performances I've ever seen out of a professional sports team that actually has standards. You think there's a standard, but as we've come to know, the Steelers' standard is mediocrity. This is Sports Central. We've got a lot of good stuff to talk about today. Primarily, that being, I am so done with Mike Tomlin. Now, it doesn't really matter how done I am with him. It doesn't really matter how done you are with him. It is hard to see the Pittsburgh Steelers moving on from Mike Tomlin. I just can't envision a scenario where the Steelers fire Mike Tomlin. I would hope that maybe Mike Tomlin would finally show some leadership and do what's best for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And just tell them, hey, let's go ahead and end this mutually. Go ahead and trade me. You guys can start over. I can start over. You need a new voice. My voice is getting lost in the shuffle here. I am so freaking done with Mike Tomlin. The most overrated coach in the history of all known universes. This universe, our parallel universe, universe 87, universe 47 trillion, wherever the hell that is, however many versions of coaches there are. In all the universes, Mike Tomlin is the most overrated coach of all of them. I'm just so sick of the guy. I'm so sick of the guy. I really am. A dead dog. That's about right. That's what the Steelers looked like in the first half as the Baltimore Ravens lined up and whipped their behinds up and down the field for a 21-0 lead. One little quick note on that dead dog thing. I didn't even think, because I just loved what he said so much. It didn't hit me immediately. The TV announcers working together were Al Michaels and Kirk Herbstreit. And Al Michaels is like 80 years old, and he says a lot of crazy things now because he's not a great announcer anymore. He's not quite as prepared as he used to be, and he makes some mental mistakes. Not saying that calling the Steelers a dead dog is a mental mistake. I think he was absolutely accurate. But his TV partner at the time was Kirk Herbstreit. And if you know Kirk Herbstreit's story in college football, he just lost his dog, Peter, like a month or two ago. Like, Peter was this beloved dog that Kirk Herbstreit had. Take him to all the places, all the games and everything. Big social media following for Peter Herbstreit. So Kirk Herbstreit's dog just died. And so I'm laughing. Not that I should be laughing. When a dog dies, that's really sad. But Al Michaels just kind of unbeknownst, lost in the moment, describing what he thought of the Steelers, said the Steelers were playing like a dead dog, sitting 3 feet from Kirk Herbstreit, whose dog had just died. So that was pretty cold. I'll find the clip here in a second of Herbstreit saying, "Where the hell's the fight?" Because he's absolutely right. I mean, it was absolutely pathetic to watch the Steelers come out and just give no effort whatsoever and getting absolutely hammered. I mean, it's hard to wrap your mind around how this is supposed to be one of the most respected and revered organizations in the world.
A game like this, a chess match, it's a cliche. I mean, but if this is a chess match, two grand masters.
If I were a Steelers fan, the thing that would concern me just watching this first half, you're in the postseason. You're getting dominated. I don't see any fight. I don't see any pushback. It's one thing to lose XOs against a really talented offense, but where the hell is the fight? This is the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah.
There's nothing. They're just
Where the hell is the fight? This is the Pittsburgh Steelers. There's nothing. They're just going through the motions. This isn't week 4 either. This is the damn playoffs. This is what's supposed to matter. This is what we're supposed to give a damn about Mike Tomlin for, that he doesn't have losing seasons, and he's gotten into the playoffs every now and then.
You're getting dominated. I don't see any fight. I don't see any pushback. It's one thing to lose XOs against a really talented offense, but where the hell is the fight? This is the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah.
There's nothing. They're just going through the motions.
Yeah, this is a big...
I mean... That 7-8 second sound, that's literally what we saw from the Pittsburgh Steelers on Saturday in the first half. Where the hell is the fight? There's nothing. They're just going through the motions. Nebraska man, tell me if I'm wrong if you think that Mike Tomlin has just gotten old in Pittsburgh. Is there any reason to keep Mike Tomlin at this point?
No. None whatsoever. I'll tell you what, Corey, thank God that they didn't have that game on either Fox or CBS Saturday night. Like a goof, I waited till 11:30, 12 o'clock and put it on the NFL channel. And I want to tell you something. That defensive line, they didn't move. I thought J.J. Watt, you know, the type that he always talked about being a football player, wants to be intense, wants to tackle, wants to be in the game at all times. That they just stood there like it was nothing. I mean, I could not believe what I was seeing. Really couldn't. And the score being 21-0 at halftime, that to me was I don't know how the Rooneys could have even watched that game or even been. I would definitely want to make some moves. Now you know I know what they're going to do. They're going to get rid of about 4 or 5 coaches, and then they're going to keep Tomlin on. But they're going to be right. They're going to be right back to where they were next year. They're going to be the same thing as they are this year. They're going to be one and done. Maybe him and Franklin ought to get together over the summertime and try to work something out.
You know, it is just you're absolutely right. Mike Tomlin is going to stick around. He's going to wow everybody with how good of a speaker he is and how he can command the room with his vocal presence and everything that, like, and meanwhile say nothing. and they'll make some coaching changes. They won't change him. He has no coaching tree whatsoever. Not a single young coach that Mike Tomlin has ever hired has gone on to be a head coach in the NFL. Not a single one. It is so damning and appalling at how bad of a coach he is. They do win some games because the Steelers generally have had good players. And you can find your way to some wins in the NFL if you've got good players. He's resting on this stat of never having had a losing season. And again, they've had a lot of good players over the course of his tenure. When it really matters, when it really, really matters at the end of a season, and everybody is scrambling to try to make a final push, Mike Tomlin's teams wither and die. They wither and die. Five consecutive losses to end the season. I was reading some statistical analysis. One of the worst collapses in NFL history. The Steelers were in first place in the AFC North by two games. By two games at 10-3 and didn't win another game. These are all things, and it's not like everybody just got hurt. I know George Pickens got hurt, but my God, man, if you can't overcome one relatively mediocre wide receiver, and that's all George Pickens is, he has a chance to be a great wide receiver, but he's not. He's an above-average wide receiver, and you lose one guy for a couple games, and all of a sudden you don't win another game the rest of the season, even with him coming back. The whole thing is just appalling.
Well, you know, Corey, I watched some of the games, Steeler games, during the year, you know, when I was having my little health issues here at the beginning. I mean, at games at times, the players looked like they were out there. They really wanted to play for them. But if you watch that game Saturday night close up, it just seems like them players didn't want to have nothing to do with him. They didn't even want to play. And I believe that they have had enough of him. They've had enough of always doing the same thing year after year after year and blowing a two-game lead, you know, losing five games in a row, being the first team to go in the playoffs and 0-5 and then come out of it 0-6. So I really believe that if Pittsburgh doesn't make any changes with Tomlin, I just think they're going to be in this drought. They're going to be in a hole for years and years to come, and I don't even know if they'll ever be able to come out of it.
Thank you, buddy. Appreciate it, Nebraska, man. 946-0435. I do have some good news on a football front. I'll tell you here in a few minutes. It does not have to do with the Steelers. It has to do with Penn State. There was some exceptional news. A lot of news out today for Penn State. And on any other given day, I'd be leading with that. But the Mike Tomlin stuff. You have to look at the totality. You have to look 8 years now without a playoff win. 8 years without a playoff victory. I had somebody text me this. I wish I could find it here. In the last X number of playoff games. Okay, yeah, Kreider texted me this. These are their last five playoff games, okay? Listen to this. This is preposterous. These are the Steelers' last five playoff games. Playoffs, you think you're prepared, right? You go into a game, you're in the playoffs. You think you got a shot, right? Saturday. They were down 21-0. Last year in the playoffs against Buffalo, they were down 21-0. 2021 against Kansas City, they were down 21-7. 2020 against Cleveland, they were down 28-0. Jacksonville, 2017, they were down 21-0. What in the holy hell, man? This is the playoffs. In the NFL, over five consecutive playoff appearances, 21-0, 21-0, 21-7, 28-0, 21-0. They're not even prepared for the playoffs. How bad of a coach do you have to be to go into the playoffs this many times and just get your ass hammered because you're not ready to go? It's unbelievable. It's unbelievable how bad the Steelers are in these playoff games under this coach. He won a Super Bowl, what, 15 years ago with a Hall of Fame quarterback and great roster that he inherited? I am so done with Mike Tomlin. Steve in Duncansville, what's up, buddy?
Hey, Corey, two things. When you were on ESPN, I said after he lost Cowers players and Bruce Arians. Now, I'll say this. Todd Haley was just as good as an offensive coordinator, one of the best ones the Steelers ever had, because Ben had a couple 500-yard games with him. And when he lost Dick LeBeau, and that's when he started to take over. Number two, this is nothing against Nebraska, man. He called after and said that. But these people who think we can run a 1970 offense or a 2000 Ravens defense and offense, remember, they had a 2,000-yard running back and Trent Dilfer as quarterback. He stunk. They had Jonathan Algin, a great center, and two great guards. But the thing is, I don't even think that 2,000 Ravens could win like that in this era with open offense. Number two, if the Steelers next year would lose them all and they keep Tomlin, they get this once in a generation like an Andrew Luck or Burles or Elway or Marino or even Ben again, would you trust him to hire an offensive coordinator?
No,
you know, to develop that.
He had ruined the guy. This is the guy that drafted Kenny Pickett, first of all, so he doesn't know how to evaluate talent. Secondly, he had ruined any young quarterback. Third, all I'm reading about is how Aaron Rodgers is the Steelers are the most likely landing spot for Aaron. Who the F wants Aaron Rodgers? The guy is awful. He is a cancer. All he is going to do is come in and throw every teammate under the bus. Maybe it could work out if he comes in and throws Mike Tomlin under. Here's a scenario I'd love to see, actually. Aaron Rodgers comes in. He runs the Steelers offense for 3-4 weeks. He comes out in a press conference, says, "This offense is the biggest joke I've ever seen. I don't know how this coach is an NFL head coach." That's about the only possible positive I can see out of Aaron Rodgers coming to the Steelers.
Look, they're in quarterback purgatory. A quarterback can be a coach killer. How many offensive coordinators took a bad team like the Jets? Maybe if they would have drafted a great quarterback, great offensive coordinators, and they went back to being offensive coordinators, still great. It's just you need a quarterback in today's NFL.
Let's not get caught up in the laundry list of things they need. Stop. This defense gave up 300 yards in the first half. They made Lamar Jackson look like the greatest football player in the history of the world. They give up 300. They're lucky it was only 21-0, but they give up 300 yards in the first half. TJ Watt, here's a stat for you. In his last 193 snaps, okay? This goes back like 2.5 games. 193 snaps. He has done absolutely nothing. Not a single statistic recorded. Not a tackle, not an assisted tackle, not a fumble recovery, not a forced fumble, not a sack. It's as if in the last 193 plays that TJ Watt has played in an NFL game, he has literally done nothing, not even on the stat sheet. This is a guy 2 weeks ago was the leading candidate for Defensive Player of the Year. Where did TJ Watt go? How in the world do you get hammered by a team that you play two and a lot of times three times a year? You know everything about what they're supposed to be doing. They come out and make you look like a bunch of kindergarten students with what they did on offense.
Well, some players age out faster than others.
In two weeks? T.J. Watt went from being a great player to not even being useful on the field in 2 weeks?
Okay, I'll say what Paul Zeiss and him said. I think there's an underlying thing going on with these players that they don't like the game plan on offense and defense. I listen to 93.7 a fan, and I get on YouTube on the Pittsburgh Post-Gazette because they put stuff on YouTube with Paul Zeiss and a bunch of other guys, Ray Philippone. But it sounds like they are really – maybe they're giving up because they don't have faith in the coaches and stuff. You know what I'm saying? I know that's odd, you know, but you're sitting there, you're humping your butt, and they come up with the game plans. And you remember when you were on ESPN, me and you talked about this a couple times. Bratchell said this. James Harris said this. And a few other players, I forget, I think it was Jesse James that said this too when he left the Steelers and went to Detroit. And a couple other players said this. When they make mistakes in a game, they never correct them in practice. And Bratchell ran for that and said, Tomlin ain't a good coach, and everybody hammered Bratchell. I think Bratchell was right.
Terry called him a cheerleader. Terry said that Tomlin is a cheerleader. Yep.
And if he went to another team, they would be lousy. They would be. I'm telling you that right now. This guy, I always said this, and you know, this guy inherited a Super Bowl winning team with a great offensive coordinator in Bruce Arians and a great defensive coordinator, and you had a Hall of Fame safety, you know, you had a Hall of Fame quarterback, Hines Ward, borderline Hall of Fame. You had Antonio Holmes, which is really above. I think if he didn't get in trouble, he could have been a borderline Hall of Fame wide receiver. But just like Antonio Brown got himself in trouble and stuff, he had Heath Miller as tight end. He had all the tools. They're great offensive line, great outside linebackers, great defensive line, you know. But the thing is, he inherited that. When them guys aged out and he started, and they went over, Paul Zeiss went over all the draft busts. Looks like Broderick Jones was being a bust. Tyrell Edmonds.
All right, look, we're getting deep. Look.
Yeah.
This isn't about you. You could go on for an hour, and you wouldn't be wrong about any of it. The bottom line is the guy at the top has to go. The guy at the top is in charge of all of it, and he sucks, and he's got to go.
Well, I don't understand how Art Rooney, the second or third or 24th, ever gave up coach that much power, because the Steelers never even gave Cowher
insanity.
That much power.
Insanity. If Art Rooney the second thinks that this can just continue, he is a loser. Okay? I'll flat out say it. If Art Rooney II thinks that he can just let this continue, to hell with his reputation and legacy. He is a loser. How about that?
Well, yep. Hey, I got to let you go.
Thank you, buddy.
Getting dominated. I don't see any fight. I don't see any pushback. It's one thing to lose XOs against a really talented offense, but where the hell is the fight? Mm. This is the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah.
There's nothing. They're just going through the motions.
And if Art Rooney II allows that to continue, then he's got to go.
Nobody knows more about pipes and cigars than J.M. Boswell. They've been making pipes for 48 years. Here's J.M. Boswell himself.
I want to invite you all to come to our shop. Feel welcome like family. We sell great cigars, great pipe blends, and you can sit in our lounge, have a smoke, enjoy yourself. Boswell Pipes is located at 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria, PA. We are open from 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday and 9 to 4 on Saturdays, and always online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
Someone had a birthday.
Yep, 50. Can't believe it.
50 years of wisdom.
Great segue. We have health news, a CDC update.
Pneumococcal vaccination is now recommended for adults 50 or older. Says here, we're over 6 times more likely to be hospitalized with pneumococcal pneumonia than adults under 50.
I don't love those odds.
Same. Look what I found. Pfizer's Prevnar 20 is proven to help protect adults against pneumococcal pneumonia and invasive pneumococcal disease in just one dose, and millions have already gotten it.
Continued approval may depend on a supportive study. Don't get Prevnar 20 if you have a severe allergy to its ingredients. A weakened immune system may lower your response. Common side effects include injection site pain and swelling, fatigue, headache, muscle, and joint pain. For full prescribing information, please call 1-855-213-2138, visit Prevnar20.com, or talk to your doctor or pharmacist.
I'm on Prevnar20.com now, scheduling my appointment.
Good idea. And happy 50th.
Hank FM.
All right, before my head explodes, wishing that the Steelers would part ways with Mike Tomlin, I got some good news for you. This is amazing news. By the way, if you want to call in and talk Mike Tomlin, the Steelers, 946-0435. Anybody out there want to dare to disagree with me? Oh, please, please, please call in. Please call in if you think the Steelers should keep Mike Tomlin. Please. I'd love that. 946-0435. Here's the good news. All right. So, for Penn State, it has been announced and reported, different sources and everything today. Back next year for Penn State, Nicholas Singleton and Catron Allen. And also, a little bit later, there's now sources saying that Drew Aller has officially decided to return. That was a given, really, especially the way his playoff ended. But Singleton and Allen coming back, this is amazing. This is amazing. It is tremendous news for Penn State football next year. It is wildly fascinating when it comes to the business of football. So here's the deal. Nicholas Singleton, Catron Allen are both juniors. They've both, started. They've split the carries relatively equally for 3 years. So it doesn't matter who starts or not. They've been 1 and 1A for 3 years now. The way football works, the way football has worked for a long, long time for a running back, is after 3 years of college, when you're eligible to turn pro, you turn pro. Well, why? Because you save your body the beating and the wear and tear of what's coming in the NFL. Because the NFL, you've heard it described for years, it's a train wreck every game. If you're a running back, the way you get hit, how many times you get hit, it's incredibly demanding on your body. So if you're a three-year running back in college, you turn pro as soon as you possibly can to save your body the wear and tear, and you go make your money in the NFL. But hold the phone. Nowadays, in this modern era of NIL, getting money in college, you can make a lot of money in college. Now, I haven't seen any figures trickle out yet about Singleton and Allen. Carson Beck, all right? Carson Beck, the Georgia quarterback, he's transferring from Georgia, which has won a couple of national championships in the last few years. Georgia had overtaken Alabama as the best program in the country, but you know Georgia lost in the second round this year to Notre Dame because Carson Beck was injured. He couldn't play in the playoff. He's transferring to Miami. He's going to get $3 million in NIL money. $3 million in NIL money. Given where Carson Beck is in the pecking order of quarterbacks and all this stuff, blah, 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 there's reports out there that Carson Beck is going to make at Miami roughly twice as much money as he would have made in the NFL next year. Now, think about that. Think about that. If Carson Beck, who knows, third, fourth round, wherever he was going to go, fifth round, who knows? I guess he was slotted to make somewhere around $1.5 million next year in the NFL. Going to Miami, he's going to make $3 million. Why wouldn't you stay in college? Well, obviously you would. I mean, if you're a first rounder and you've got, you know, $15, $20 million contract waiting for you, that's different. And we can say about Drew Aller, I don't know what Drew Aller's earning potential would be. I would say this. Despite the horrific interception against Notre Dame, if Drew Aller were to transfer today, if he were to transfer today, I think Drew Aller could get up to $4 million next year in NIL. Somewhere. Now, I don't think Penn State can pay anywhere near that. Penn State's behind in NIL. Penn State has three superstars they're going to have to pay in NIL. And Aller, Singleton, and Allen. You got to think all three are going to get at least $1.5 million. The numbers that were floated out there this year, Aller, $800,000, Singleton, $800,000. Who knows about Catron? I never saw any numbers on Catron. And maybe Catron would get less than those two. In terms of NIL valuation. Bottom line is, Nick Singleton and Catron Allen, they could go to the NFL. I don't think either one's a first-round pick. I'm not sure that Nick is a second-round pick, maybe. But in the NFL, you know, you get that first contract, a lot's expected of you, you get hurt early, who knows? In the NFL, as a running back, you're trying to get that second contract. The second contract, you know, is the one that'll pay you a lot. But look at even Saquon Barkley. You know, these running backs, they struggle to get that big second contract. So Singleton and Allen, who split carries relatively evenly, it's not like one is Ashton Jeanty carrying 30 times a game. They split the carries, you know, 14, 16 a game. So that saves their bodies. And if they can come back and make $1.5 million, or two, maybe even. Who knows? Again, I haven't seen numbers yet. That's the dynamic that's in play here now. Drew Aller, could he have turned pro this year? Sure. I think Drew Aller is going to... I don't think he's going to do anything in the NFL. And I mean anything. I mean, he could be a guy on a roster and be a backup and play every now and then. But I don't see Drew Aller amounting... being a starting quarterback and being a decent starting quarterback in the end, ever. I don't ever see that. I think he'll play some. I think he'll be a good leader, that kind of guy. But I don't see Drew Aller ever being a standout in the NFL. Stay in college, make a couple million. But the good news for Penn State is you got all three of those guys back. By the way, the other news, this is, I don't know if it's bad news or not, but it's news. Tom Allen, the defensive coordinator, is leaving to go to Clemson. Now, you might say, well, that's bad news, Geiger. Tom Allen's defense is pretty good. Well, they were good. I don't think they were great. Oregon lit them up. Notre Dame lit them up in the second half. Tom Allen did a good job. That's a marquee prime position in college football. Now pays a lot of money. So I don't know that losing Tom Allen is any kind of great loss. Clarkster, what's up, buddy?
You don't think the running backs are going to get Pro Bowler money?
Yeah, where did you send me something about $1.5 million? Did you see somewhere that he got $1.5 million?
No, this, you know, you love how you're going to say this, and I told you to take it with a grain of salt. That was an individual telling me that he has an NFL draft for the playoffs, and one of the participants is the relative of what's the name's uncle. Prabula's uncle.
Okay.
And that's where they came up with $1.5 million that he was supposedly getting.
It is interesting. Bo, a backup quarterback, never started, but the quarterback market, it is interesting. Should Bo Prabula get more money than Nicholas Singleton? You would think not. You would think no. Nicholas Singleton's proven it, but a running back versus a quarterback, we're talking about very different financial markets.
Well, I think next year they should go in as a hyphen for the Heisman. The two of them together.
Right, right. Singleton Allen, right. That's good.
But this is really getting absurd. I mean, I hear of kids on the basketball level we lost a kid at St. Joe's that went to Providence. He had all kinds of issues physically, and supposedly he may have gotten, you know, seven figures. Okay, say he got $1 million. Okay,
mm-hmm.
and he's like Embiid. Not that he could score like him, but he's hurt like him.
Okay,
the money that's getting thrown around, you know, it's almost like there should be an investigation that. You know, in the past, this money was under the cover. Now it's all legitimate.
And here's the thing: I got to throw this out because it's all part, it's all related. Players are going to get 5 years of eligibility. That's going to get passed at some point. So think about this, folks. When they give the blanket okay for college athletes to all get 5 years of eligibility, and now these guys like Nick Singleton and Katron Allen, who's to say? I'll sit here right now and tell you, who's to say that Nick Singleton, Katron Allen, and Drew Aller all might be back in 2026 for their fifth year?
They come out of college at 23 with a lifetime income already more than 95% of the people in the country. I mean, it's absurd what you hear.
Yep.
That what we're paying for. Now, real quick, Texas and Ohio State. Was Texas playing the part of Penn State down by the goal line?
Oh, yeah. How about that? That looked like a Penn State-Ohio State finish. Texas had, what, second and goal at the one? Then they try a reverse. They try a toss sweep to the left and lose like 7 yards. Look, I'll give Texas a lot of credit. Texas played great. I thought Ohio State would wipe the floor with them. Texas went out there and was 1 yard away from tying the game. And then boom, you know, it gets away from them. But that sweep to the left, tossing the ball back 3 yards, when are offensive coordinators going to learn that ain't going to work?
Yeah. Anyway, well, we'll see what happens with Notre Dame and Ohio State. One would think, like you just said with Texas, that Ohio State would, you know, take it to Notre Dame really pretty good. But we'll see. You have to play the game to find out.
Yep. I just got a text here that said, with the fifth year of eligibility coming in NIL, that NFL careers will be shorter. And that's probably true. So, again, let me just play this scenario out. Say that in the next few months, the NCAA passes a rule that players now get 5 years of eligibility. I would imagine that players currently in the NCAA, that they could take advantage of it immediately. So, That could possibly mean that not only are Drew Aller, Nicholas Singleton, and Katron Allen back next year, they could be back again another year for year five, and then we're going to start to see a whole bunch of guys sticking around for 5 years.
How many teams will they have played on it?
Oh, my gosh, yeah, no doubt. Seven?
Yeah.
Thanks, buddy. Appreciate the call. 946-0435. Chuck in Unionville. How you doing, pal?
Hey, I'm good, Corey. How about yourself?
All right, buddy. What's up?
You know what? College football has become unrecognizable to me. And I was stunned whenever I started listening tonight. Like, I knew the NIL money was out there. But I didn't realize that it was to that extent that these guys are literally like, they're playing the transfer portal like free agents.
Absolutely. Yeah, if you're Carson Beck from Georgia and you can go get $3 million, dude, that's your life. That's you've heard me say this before. I will not make, give or take, depending on how long I work, I will not make, I promise you, more than $1.5 million for my entire working life, okay? And Carson Beck's going to get $3 million for 1 year of college football. Whether he plays football ever again after that, these guys are set up, man.
Well, they are. If you were my son, and after you pay the taxes on that, if you had $1.6 million or $7 million left on that for 1 year, I'd say, here's your – of course, you couldn't because he's 18 years old. But I would say, take $600,000 worth of mad money and invest that million right now. And he literally probably would not have to work for the rest of his life.
Yep,
or maybe once he hit the age
– If you invest $1 million on a 5% return, you get $50,000 a year – forever. Now you got to pay tax on it, but that's $50,000 a year for never working a day. You know how many years of my life, Chuck, I've made $50,000? I'm 51 years old. You know how many years of my life I've made $50,000 in a year? Zero. Not ever. Not really even close.
I get it.
And so yeah, these guys can invest that $1 million. They'd never have to work a day.
And if they invest it correctly, you know, I mean, if a basic kid at the age of 19, I told this to my son, and he's 20, and nobody listens at that age, but if they put $100 a month away, they'd be able to retire with $2 million by the time, if everything in our economy and markets and our society hold.
Yeah.
So that's what these kids are up for. And, you know, I don't know whether to say fortunately or unfortunately. I don't think because of all these streaming services that are paying money, this is now out of the hands of the fans. It truly is.
No doubt about it. How do you feel? Because that really is the crux here. That, not that fans really ever had control of anything, but you could live it and breathe it and passion and all that. This is my school, my team, blah blah blah. But as what you just said is so true, that it is going to be so far removed from the fans. How can fans have anywhere near the kind of passion that they've always had about their favorite college team?
Yeah, I'll be honest with you, Corey. I am not, like, you know, I said about the Steelers that I wasn't going to watch the game. I hit Andy up because I was like, let's go have some food, you know. We didn't go out. But I don't watch sports. I follow it. You know, if the Steelers were going to make a run, would I watch them? Probably. But I don't watch sports these days. And it used to be that if the eyeballs went down and that or the concessions or merch or whatever went down, teams had to be cognizant of that. But even college athletics no longer have to be cognizant of it because of contracts and streaming and all their revenue sources. And this thing is going to end up becoming something that is very foreign to the fan base in general. And you wonder how long they can let this go. You wonder how much of a transformation they can go through without hurting themselves in the long run.
Yeah, I'll tell you, it's wild. We are in a different. Hey, on the Steelers, man. I'm beside myself at this nonsense that has been allowed. I said something 10, 15 minutes ago that I really didn't think I'd say. I said, if Art Rooney II wants to just keep allowing this, then he's a loser and he's got to go. Because at some point, the bosses have to take control of the situation.
Well, here's the only thing I'll say is I think the cancer on this team is Mike Tomlin's input into the coordinators and the way the talent is pulled in and who they draft and how they draft. Because I heard something the other day, today, driving. Who's the safety they took in the tail end of the first round? Terrell Edmonds, who never amounted to anything. Lamar Jackson was on the board at that time.
Oh my God!
You know,
yeah.
they traded up for Devin Bush, nothing. You've got so many of these, and then look at the Najee Harris. He's not going to amount to a back they're going to bring back. I think if they could look at Tomlin and say, "Look, this is what is out of your control. You're not hiring a yes." Offensive and defensive, yes, man. You're not hiring these guys that are going to do your bidding. We're going to bring guys in here that are going to put in state-of-the-art offense and defense, and you're going to shut your trap, and you're going to go with it. And if you get – because if you – remember what happened when he came into the league. You know, he inherited a Super Bowl winning team, but he got him to 2 Super Bowls. He can coach. He just can't build the program. But whether or not they're able to do it and whether or not he's going to agree to something like that, that's where I think the only hope is.
Yeah. Oh, man. It's so frustrating. Appreciate it, buddy. Thanks for the call. We got to take a break. We'll be back after this.
The intensity level in NASCAR has ratcheted up this past season and maybe even gone over the line a few times. And here's Martin Truex Jr.'s thoughts.
I mean, we've seen it go too far this year, right? Like NASCAR had to step in at one race. So, you know, I think for me, just looking back over the years, it's been a steady progression of racing getting rougher and less respectful at lower levels. And I've watched it for years, just creeping up, creeping up, creeping up. Then it's in the trucks, then it's in Xfinity, and now it's in Cup. It's just a different era. It's a different era of driver, the way they come up through racing. And now they're in the Cup Series these days. So it's changed a lot. You know, since I started. I don't know if there's any turning back now. I mean, it's so competitive, the way the cars are now and you know, the aero blocking and the ability to not be able to you know, get close to the guy in front of you, all that stuff. It's just every position is heavily guarded, and you know, there is no give and take anymore. It's all take.
What makes the sport of NASCAR different from all the other sports?
Football, baseball, basketball, whatever, they play on the same court every week. They're playing the same game. Racing is different. There's guys and teams that'll go to a certain track for years and be the guys to beat. So much is about timing. Like for us, it was good timing to make the Final Four and go to Homestead because we were good at that period of time at Homestead. We were really good. Like we had just figured it out. The year, you know, those 2 or 3 years right in there. So timing, right place, right time. And here you are, you know, Joey's a 3-time champion.
You're on the final lap.
Stirring fiber, exercising, frequent trips to the store for more laxatives and fiber. Sounds like your constipation with belly pain is a lot to manage. But if your symptoms that keep coming back are signs of irritable bowel syndrome with constipation, or IBS-C, ask your doctor how Linzess can help you get ahead of it. Linzess linaclotide is a prescription medicine that treats IBS-C in adults. It's not a laxative. It's a once-daily pill that helps you get ahead of your symptoms. It's proven to help you have more frequent and complete bowel movements and helps relieve overall abdominal symptoms, belly pain, discomfort, and bloating. These symptoms were studied in combination, not individually. Do not give Linzess to children less than 2. It may harm them. Do not take Linzess if you have a bowel blockage. Get immediate help if you develop unusual or severe stomach pain, especially with bloody or black stools. The most common side effect is diarrhea, sometimes severe. If it's severe, stop taking Linzess and call your doctor right away. Other side effects include gas, stomach area pain, and swelling. Learn more at Linzess.com or call 1-800-LINZESS.
Kepner's Grandview Meats, 1544 Pleasure Valley Boulevard. Nell and Chris have hot meals to go, available throughout the day to fit your schedule. Home-cooked goodness for the price of fast food. Roast beef with mashed potatoes and gravy. Or ham pot pie. Turkey with homemade stuffing and mashed potatoes. They have meatloaf dinners. Kepner Grandview Meats, now with new hours. Open Tuesday through Friday, 8 to 5. Saturday, 8 to 3. Call 814-943-6328. That's 943-MEAT. Kepner's Grandview Meats.
Nobody knows more about pipes and cigars than J.M. Boswell. They've been making pipes for 48 years. Here's J.M. Boswell himself.
I want to invite you all to come to our shop. Feel welcome like family. We sell great cigars, great pipe blends, and you can sit in our lounge, have a smoke, enjoy yourself. Boswell Pipes is located at 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria, PA. We are open from 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday and 9 to 4 on Saturdays, and always online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe. Hey, Kevin.
Oh, yeah, remember, there is nothing like a Boswell's pipe. 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria. Head on over there for pipes, cigars, tobacco blends, anything that you're looking for. And remember, there's nothing like a Boswell's pipe. 946-0435. Back to the Tomlin stuff. By the way, we're going to have our final episode of the season, Black and Gold Breakdown, tomorrow from 5 to 6. Kreider will be in here. Matt Bortner, who is a Ravens fan. I'm really looking forward to talking with Matt to get the perspective of a Ravens fan just about how different, what kinds of different things they did. Because the Steelers had won 8 of the last 10 games against the Ravens. They kept mentioning that during the broadcast. The Steelers, I can go on and on and on and on and on about my disdain for Mike Tomlin. Steelers had won 8 of the last 10 games against the Ravens and then came out and got destroyed by a tremendous game plan. You hear all the time about how one coach outcoaches another. And while it's true, probably most of the time, it's really more vague than, you know, it comes down to one or two decisions kind of thing. Oh my God, man. Did John Harbaugh and his staff outcoach Mike Tomlin and his staff by like 10 miles on Saturday? The Steelers had won 8 of the 10 previous meetings against the Ravens. So you figure you've kind of got a good idea what they do, right? You've got a good handle on what they do, right? You kind of have a little bit of an idea how to stop them, right? The Ravens come up, and to the guy's credit, Al Michaels and Kirk Herbstreit, they mentioned this repeatedly. Lamar Jackson had 10 carries, I'm pretty sure, by the time the first quarter, before the first quarter was over. They kept saying, you know, they don't always want Lamar to carry this much. But the Ravens, they figured out the game plan. If the Steelers are just going to crash as hard as they can at the running backs, which they did, let Lamar just take off. Do some option keepers. And, oh my gosh, it was like watching a grown human being walk up to a little baby. Hi, little baby. Little baby's got ice cream in his mouth. And the grown human being just taking the ice cream out of the kid's mouth and walking away. I guess that analogy would have worked better if I'd said holding candy in his hand, taking candy from a baby. Hey, little baby. John Harbaugh is the grown up. Mike Tomlin's the little baby holding candy in his hand. And John Harbaugh came over and witch slapped Mike Tomlin, I wish I could say the other word, but I can't, and just took that damn candy, said, go the hell home. That's how badly the Ravens outcoached the Steelers.
Nobody knows more about pipes and cigars than J.M. Boswell. They've been making pipes for 48 years. Here's J.M. Boswell himself.
I want to invite you all to come to our shop. Feel welcome like family. We sell great cigars, great pipe blends, and you can sit in our lounge, have a smoke, enjoy yourself. Boswell Pipes is located at 6481 William Penn Highway, Route 22 in Alexandria, PA. We are open from 9 to 5 Tuesday through Friday and 9 to 4 on Saturdays, and always online at boswellpipes.com. And remember, there is nothing like a Boswell pipe.
With all the activities and sports you and the kids are involved with, who has time to cook? So with that in mind, let's go to Best Way Pizza for the three-cut lunch deal with a soda. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for their awesome 15-cut big deal. Let's go to Best Way Pizza for the 28-cut party box. It's time to get you and your team to Best Way Pizza before or after the game. Best Way Pizza, Greenwood, Altoona, and Hollidaysburg.
ARC Federal Credit Union can help you with many of the important things in life. If you'd like to become a member, ARC has growing opportunities, and you'd be surprised at how easy it is to qualify now that ARC includes over 24 local employers and organizations. And with 2 branches, it's easier than ever. Services like business loans, online banking, and mobile deposit. Let us show you the many benefits of being a member of ARC Federal Credit Union. Stop into 1919 7th Avenue in Altoona and 419 North 7th Street in Juniata.
J&P Auto Mart knows you hate the snow, but when it snows, you save at J&P Auto Mart. J&P Auto Mart has more trucks than any other used car lot in 3 counties, along with SUVs and all-wheel drive cars. You've already had a taste of winter, and you know you need a reliable car, truck, or SUV. Get to J&P Auto Mart. They have trades and discount accordingly. When it snows, you save at J&P Auto Mart, 1906 Pleasant Valley Boulevard, Altoona.
Hank FM.
All right, we got a few minutes left. If you want to join me, 946-0435. I'm actually kind of disappointed. I thought we would get more Steelers calls today. I got to play this one more time. This was just good stuff from Kirk Herbstreit.
You're in the postseason. You're getting dominated. I don't see any fight. I don't see any pushback. It's one thing to lose XOs against a really talented offense, but where the hell is the fight? Mm. This is the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Yeah.
There's nothing. They're just going through the motions.
Yeah, to have a broadcaster say that, a respected broadcaster like Kirk Herbstreit say that on a national broadcast, how does that not hit home for the Rooneys and Mike Tomlin to make some changes, man? Dave in Hollidaysburg. What's up, Dave? How you doing?
Good, Corey. Hey, 2 points. One, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. I think that sort of sums up the Steelers at this point. And the other thing that I've always believed is that every coach has a certain shelf life. And I think their message, especially in the NFL where players stay longer, but at the same time have more options as far as being traded,
mm-hmm.
I think Tomlin's message is stale, and they continue to allow him to preach pretty much the same message again and again is counterproductive and the definition of insanity, because at this point, as Kirk Herbstreit said on the broadcast, where's the energy? There was no energy on the Pittsburgh Steelers side. They were playing it out, and I don't think they really believed they had a chance to win the game.
I don't disagree with the word. I think you nailed it, Dave. I think that's a fantastic analysis that his message has gotten stale, and so then you wonder, are the players – it's hard to even fathom saying this, Dave, but are the players giving 100%? Because I don't think they were. And you get in the playoffs and you've dominated, you've beaten this team 8 out of 10, and you get dominated like that, it's easy to question if those players were giving 100%.
Well, I don't know about giving 100%, but were they putting the extra effort, were they willing to put themselves in positions where – you know, you risk injury, but you're doing it for the team.
But that's what I call 100%. 100% means you're there every year. You're only thinking about the game. You're not thinking about your career. You're not thinking about your team. You're not thinking about free agency. You're not thinking about next week. You're thinking about this play, and I got to do every single thing I can on this play. I don't think they were.
Yeah, and I think with the four-game losing streak, that just carried in, and they realized it was kind of dead man walking, where, okay, we're going to play out the game. This is going to be the end of the season.
Yep, that's right.
And we are what we are, and unfortunately, that's the product that was displayed on Saturday.
I got a text here that said only Cam Hayward gave 100%. I can't disagree with that. That guy was out there busting his you-know-what. Thank you, Dave. Appreciate the call. I only got 20 seconds left, so I'm not going to get to Jim here. Sorry I can't get to you, Jim. Call in tomorrow. We'll talk. Believe me, we'll talk a whole lot more about Mike Tomlin and the Steelers this week. Mike McCarthy out at the Cowboys. So there could be some movement here in the NFL the next few days. Have a good night, everybody.
Sports Central is an exclusive presentation of 96.1 Hank FM. WKMC Roaring Spring LT.